the 2018 CUNA GAC in this town called Washington, D.C., where it's sunny outside, Dennis.
It's beautiful outside.
It's gorgeous outside, a far cry from what it was yesterday or the day before. So
Washington is one of those towns where it changes quickly, kind of like the politics here.
Nice one. Nice one. Hey, how's the conference going for you?
Oh, the conference is going great. We at Dollar Associates have, this is really the only conference of the year that we actually set up an exhibit booth. And we have so many clients throughout the country, credit union clients, probably some 400 and some odd that we work with. And this is one place we get to almost see them all, you know. And so we get a chance to solve a few problems, you know, in the hallway, what I call hallway caucuses. And so it's great. We've had a great conference. The speakers have been great. Yeah. George Bush, the guy I worked for when I was chairman of NCUA,
was
here yesterday, and it was very special to be able to see him again. Mm-hmm. And he's so relaxed without the the cares of the presidency, it was a lot of fun. So we've enjoyed the GAC tremendously.
Good. Yeah, it's been a banner year for sure here. And let's talk about a webinar you guys just did. I was very particular, and you just said this is your highest webinar turnout ever. And it deals with the new tax law and credit unions. So.
Well, you know, the tax law, when it was passed, and it's the first time since 1986 that you've had a major rewrite of the tax law where the entire tax laws were opened. And credit unions fought very hard and very successful to make sure that the credit union tax exemption was protected throughout this, which was the number one priority.
Right.
And it was done. But a lot of times there are little things that get added to a tax bill that you didn't know about. Notice early on we saw that in the House bill, there was a little provision in there that would apply to all not-for-profits, which includes credit unions.
Right.
And it was to assess an excise tax, which is a tax on additional value.
Okay.
An excise tax on any compensation to any executive of a not-for-profit in excess of $1 million a year. Basically, it's taking the standard that Congress has long applied to publicly traded companies, and they limited their deduction from their income tax for any salaries above $1 million, and they restricted it at that.
Okay.
They have now taken that kind of $1 million preference that we don't think anybody ought to make over $1 million, and they're applying it to not-for-profits, and it stayed into the entirety of the bill through the House, through the Senate, and it was signed into law when the President signed it. And what it means for credit unions is that any executive that makes over $1 million a year, the amount of compensation above $1 million would be taxed at the new 21% tax rate.
21.
Now most credit unions are not paying over $1 million. I mean, I run a credit union in Gulfport, Mississippi, and I would have signed up for that, believe me. but what's interesting is that deferred compensation counts into that
when
the deferred comp.
Vest. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
For example, let's say you've got a credit union CEO that makes $350,000 a year and maybe $100,000 in bonuses. Big credit union, but that's $450,000 that he makes a year. But he's got a deferred comp plan that his board has been putting in $100,000 each year for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. So when it reaches
and now it vests.
Right.
It vests, and all of a sudden now it counts all in 1 year, that $1 million
plus
his $450,000.
Oh my.
So now he's at $1.45 million.
Yeah, yeah.
So they will tax not him, they tax the credit union. It is a tax on the interest on the institution. And so he had to pay 21% of the amount above $1 million. The reason this is important for credit unions is, again, most credit union CEOs don't make $1 million a year, although as we grow as an industry, that could happen
if
you're biggest credit unions. But and you don't want anything that deters the ability to grow and to pay for quality talent. But the deferred comp aspect of this is what brings it into play. And a lot of credit unions have those deferred comp plans. And I was just talking to a client of mine who said his deferred comp plan vests next year. And even though he doesn't make close to $1 million, it will put him over for next year.
Yeah.
And the credit union will have to pay the equivalent of about $85,000 in taxes just on the 21% of that in advance.
Wow.
So our webinar and our talk today is just so the credit unions need to be aware of this.
What can they do?
Well, the biggest thing they need to do is to know what type of deferred comp plan that they have, if they have one.
Yeah.
If it is a 457 F plan, which is a defined benefit or a defined contribution plan, it would count towards this.
Okay.
And that's what most credit unions have, because that's what's been sold by most of the financial advisors out there.
Right.
If they have a split dollar plan, which is in effect a loan that ultimately is paid back, it does not count. So there are some credit unions looking at taking their defined benefit or defined compensation plans and shifting them over to split dollar plans.
Okay.
So it would not be a liability on the balance sheet, but an asset of the liability on the balance sheet. Another thing that some are doing is they're taking theirs, and instead of having it a big vest at one time, they're moving towards, if you got $1 million in a plan, pay $200,000 this year, $200,000 in 3 years, $200,000 in 5 years, splitting it up to where it doesn't go above the $1 million. Mm-hmm. There are strategies that can be employed.
That's what I was thinking.
Our message is that you need to check those strategies.
Right.
You need to talk to not only your financial advisor, but you really, in today's examination world by NCUA and the states, they want to know that you have done due diligence, that you talked to more than one financial advisor.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you to just go back to the guy that sold you the old policy to begin with and let him tell you, no, it's going to be fine. Just trust me.
Yeah.
They want you to talk to two or three different people.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to do your homework and make sure that this plan is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're going to end up having to pay the tax, factor that in and know that in the year that it vests, you're going to have that additional assessment.
Mm-hmm.
The question that asked to me, and it's a legitimate question, Mike, is whether or not this is kind of the camel's nose under the tent of taxation for credit unions. And I've described it this way. I don't think it's the camel's nose under the tent because, again, we fought off any effort to try to tax credit unions in that bill. In fact, no one even offered an amendment to tax credit unions directly.
Yeah.
But I think this is the IRS camel at least eyeing the tent. Think about this. How will the IRS know whether or not a credit union CEO is making over $1 million? Federal credit unions don't file a 990 form with the IRS. They don't file an income tax form with the IRS. So there's going to have to be some type of new form developed, or else they're going to have to start filing the 990 form that state chartered credit unions already file to give the salaries of their top five executives. Because IRS cannot get that information from NCUA. NCUA doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
They can only get it from the credit union.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to have to be some filing mechanisms that come with this that I think credit unions also need to be mindful of. Even if you're only paying, you know, $120,000 to a CEO, you're going to have to file with IRS so that they know that you're not paying $1 million.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is new that federal credit unions will be filing probably a 990 or something similar to it. State chartered credit unions have been filing that for years, but IRS, I keep saying NCUA, but IRS can't get that information from NCUA, so they go to that 990 form, and they've never had any tax dollars at stake on it. Now there's tax dollars at stake. They're going to start looking more closely at the accuracy of those 990 forms. Actually, what I think this tells us is that credit unions are going to be dealing with the IRS a little bit more than they have been in the past.
Goody.
Yeah, I know they're excited about that.
Yeah, I could imagine.
So anyway, it's something new. It's certainly manageable. There are certainly folks out there that can help guide credit unions through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our firm can help guide credit unions through it.
Right.
There are a number of firms that can, but I think the credit unions need to look at it, need to be aware of it, and to realize that it's a new variable on the landscape they've not had to deal with in the past.
Here's a hypothetical situation I'm thinking in my head. Would this have any impact on the war for talent we hear? I mean, bringing in new talent, that type of stuff, if this $1 million mark would have an impact with a board deciding on, hey, should we hire this person?
It's my biggest concern that Carlotta Credit Unions are going to say, oh, because of that excess tax, we're going to hold down salaries, or else we're not going to offer, even worse, we're not going to offer these types of deferred benefit plans, which are many times necessary to either keep your good talent or to hire good talent.
Yeah.
And stop and think about this. With the 990 form, let's say that all credit unions have to file that now. That means that you're competing credit unions. That's a public document. They can go online, find out how much you're paying your five highest paid executives.
Mm-hmm.
If they decide they want to try to hire one of them, they say, well, he's making $285. I think I can get him for $320. then they know what it would take to get him.
Yeah.
If you don't have some type of deferred comp plan or something that kind of holds him there, some golden handcuffs, if you will, I think that it's going to really have an impact on those types of issues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to make sure that the credit unions are aware of it. We've done these webinars and all with our clients. We've actually made them available even to credit unions that are not our clients because we think it's that important.
Yeah, I agree.
And you're not hearing a lot of it from the trade associations, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that they're celebrating the fact that the we protected the big tax exemption, and they did great work there, and I'm proud of that, and I'm pleased by that. It's a great victory. But this is going to be something that the credit unions are going to have to deal with.
The little fine print,
just
you know?
It's in the fine print, but it's there. And
oh
it's not like, you remember a couple years ago with UBIT, unrelated business income tax, the IRS made an interpretation that certain things, you know, like ATM surcharges and the sale on credit life, credit disability would all count as unrelated business income tax, and they'd have to pay tax on that. Again, the camel's nose in the tent.
Mm-hmm.
Credit unions fought that. They raised a lot of money. They went to court. They actually beat the IRS in court.
Right on.
And they used the fact that was not in the law. Mm-hmm. It was an interpretation by IRS.
Mm-hmm.
The difference in this excise tax is it's in the law. It's not an IRS interpretation. It's in the law. There will be no taking IRS to court over how they implement this because it is in the law. So it's a new factor. It's somewhat complex, but it is manageable. But most credit unions will have to have some guidance and some help in managing it.
That's why I wanted to talk to you about this issue, because, I mean, you're obviously on top of it.
Well,
so
we try to be, and we try to make sure that our clients stay on top of those things. But this is one that we actually, and that's why that webinar was so well attended. We made it available even to folks who are not Dollar Associates clients.
That's great.
And
that's good to hear,
because we think credit unions need to know about it.
I agree. Dennis, always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Mike.
Thank you so much.
Have a great rest of the GAC.
Such a great education.